Hi, I'm Dominica Lumazar.
And I'm Rory Carruthers.
We help entrepreneurs develop their big picture business strategy in order to break through growth plateaus.
We built several marketing agencies from the ground up and have helped our clients earn over $1 billion in revenue.
Now we want to share everything we've learned along the way.
This is the Big Picture Business Podcast.
Dude, Lily's so cute. I would love to get her and Emma on. I mean, you know, Zoom is like not everybody's jam right now, but it'd be sweet to get them on like a FaceTime just to see how they interact together. I think it'd be super sweet.
Yeah. I don't know if we can convince them. I mean, it was hard enough like last weekend when we were doing Lily's birthday party.
Yeah.
Doing that over Zoom. You know. That was rough. For Carly, she wanted her to have a real birthday with people around instead of over Zoom.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, it's a very challenging time. I mean, look, I'm getting ready to move my family cross state lines, many a state line, and to not be able to celebrate Emma's birthday with our family, especially before we leave, is very challenging. Having to make that call of are we going to move now in the middle of this pandemic or wait until, just to see how this is going to go. We've been waiting 4 months. We've got to go. We've got to go. So they're just weird times. There's no other way to say it other than that. These are just some strange times and we just got to make the most of it. So, but anyways, I think people probably don't want to hear about our family life. They probably want to hear about some marketing. So let's get to it. Big picture business. Thank you all for joining us. I've got to share a story, something that happened to me yesterday, if I may.
Go for it.
Oh, man. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, somebody signed up for a calendar meeting, which, okay, that's fine. It's normal. I receive those all the time. But I saw the email come through and I recognized the name right away because it is someone who is a high level executive in the tech space in the Bay Area. And I was kind of shocked. Wow. Okay. This person just booked an introductory session with me. That's awesome. I don't know why they would want to talk to me. That was my first what is this about? And then as I was reading the description, because on my calendar, I use Schedule Once, by the way, for anyone that wants to know, Schedule Once is awesome. Rory, you use it. Right?
I use it too. Yeah. So I think we need to say not sponsored by Yeti, not sponsored by Daniel Tiger, not sponsored by Schedule Once.
No, these are just things we love to use. Fantastic software. And so in Schedule Once, when you receive the email notification, it pops up and it says, so-and-so has just, booked a calendar meeting with you. And then it has a little bit of a description of why they want to chat with you. They can put some notes in their website and things like that. And literally the description just said, just would like to pick your brain. I'm like, ew, what does that mean? Where are we going with this? And so I did a little research on this. What's up?
I was just going to say, you got a fork?
Yeah, just go at it, right? I did a little research into this executive, and I saw that they're getting ready to start their own business. So I thought, okay, this has to be what it's about, right? So 2 weeks go by, I'm preparing for this. I've got a pretty good understanding of what this person wants to talk to me about, and I'm feeling a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious. And if you've read my book or if you've had a conversation with me before, you know that I say all the time that if something doesn't make you at least a little bit anxious or a little bit nervous, it's not worth doing. And so I thought, okay, this is like a good anxiety. It's like exciting. I'm looking forward to what this meeting is going to be about. So I'm getting ready to jump on Zoom with this person. I'm like super pumped. I'm prepared. I'm feeling good. And the meeting starts. Okay, we're on Zoom. We're like we're 5 minutes in. And all of a sudden, I realized that I forgot to latch the door to the office. And my daughter busts in and is like, Mama, pee-pee, diaper. I'm like, oh my God. No. And so she just kind of toddles in and is like, Mama, hi, Mama. And you just see her little sweet face just right on the Zoom camera going, hi. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is like the most unprofessional thing on the planet. This is so embarrassing. And thank God, like this executive was like, oh, don't worry. Like, it's okay. Like, don't stress. It's okay. Like, let's just get back to what we're talking about. At that moment of them being gracious, Zoom craps out. So now I'm like, okay, do I text them? Do I call them? Because on the schedule once, like form they filled out, I have this person's cell phone number. What do I do? So that's what I do. I text them, hey, any chance we can possibly get back on Zoom? I'm so sorry. My daughter obviously needs a diaper change. I swear I'm not a bad mom. And thank God my husband, Chris, comes and he gets Emma and he changes her diaper and like all is well. So I hop back on Zoom and we get the conversation going again. And then I forgot to put my phone on airplane mode, which I usually do when I'm in important meetings. And my cell phone is ringing incessantly. And it's my dad who literally just wants to ask me how I'm doing. And so it's like, okay, I'm trying to get rid of the cell phone. My daughter tries to get back in again. And then my cat starts meowing on the other side of the door. And I'm thinking, could it get any worse than this? I don't think so. And the executive obviously could tell that I was like boiling with this like stress and I'm trying to keep my cool. And they look at me very, very clearly, like through the camera, and they say, don't worry. Like, it's going to be okay. I see you and I really want to talk to you. Can I book another session? And so it was this miraculous thing where I felt very valued in that moment. And this person did see me and I could tell that they appreciated the fact that I wanted to do my best, but for whatever reason, this like half hour window, just like chaos ensued, much like I'm sure you can probably hear. I don't know what is happening. Do you hear that? Do you hear the sirens going on in the background? Barrier. But yeah, it was this amazing moment where I just felt so humbled, where I was like, okay, I just need to take a deep breath and accept this person's graciousness and say, thank you. I'm sorry. Yes. Can we please book another time next week where I can dive deeper into what you're actually wanting to do? But the moral of all this, which I thought was important to share, is that it doesn't matter if there's chaos going on around you, if you've got kids knocking on the door, if you've got a cat peeing on the floor, whatever's going on. If you're meant to work with somebody, they will see that. They will see you. They will understand that you are their person that they want to work with. So don't stress or feel anxious or beat yourself up about it, because I was stressing hard. And so I look forward to talking to this person next week, because I think there's going to be some good synergy there. But I just encourage you all to keep, I mean, if you're in a position where you're seeking new clients, if you're a coach or a consultant, keep going after it, regardless of what your surroundings are. If you've got access to internet, you can do this. You totally can. And if you get online with someone who doesn't respect where you're at, then it wasn't meant to be at that time, and that's fine. But, you know, hopefully you find yourself in a position like I did, where someone was gracious enough to go, hey, I see you. I get it. Let's talk next week. But like I said, I mean, this has been a heck of a week. I feel like everyone's got an attitude, maybe because the weather's shifting too, but yeah, there's just a lot going on. Just so much going on. How's your client this week, Roy? What's going on? Any news, any exciting things happening?
Oh yeah. I mean, there's always stuff going on. It was just, your story reminded me of, this was like a month ago. So we were like, you know, right in the middle of everything. And I got a referral from a client for this guy. Like, and when I looked him up, it was like, you know, like, oh, like he's got like all of these things going on, like tons of credibility. He's a producer on like some very, very well-known movies and things like that. And so I'm like, again, like 5 minutes into the call, and I start hearing rocks hitting my window. And I look outside, and my father-in-law, who had moved a month before away to another state, was out cutting our lawn. And apparently just showed up out of nowhere to stay with us for the night. So,
oh, nice. So
I was just what is going on? I'm like looking out. He's like out there, but I can't do anything because I'm in the middle of a call. So I had to like finish the call and then come outside. And then my wife's freaking out because like he just showed up out of nowhere.
Oh, man, that's a tough scenario.
Yeah.
Those moments, right? When you're like, just give me 15 minutes to like close this deal. That's like all I'm asking for. Oh, that's awkward, man. Man, those times are hard. Those times are challenging for sure.
Yeah, because then you've got like all this stuff going in through your head. Like, what is going on? What are all these noises? And it's like, you know, our front yard is like right out front of my office. So it's like, you know, lawnmowers and stuff are going off and it's like really loud while I'm like trying to do this call and it's distracting, right? You know, but you just gotta, you know, this is one of the things that I've always said, like, you need to be able to, in your worst circumstances, you know, whether you're sick, whether you're dead tired, you know, whether you got all these distractions going on, you need to be able to know what you do so well.
Rise to the occasion.
That it just comes out no matter what.
You could do it in your damn sleep. Exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. Like that's how it is. And so it doesn't mean you're going to always be like on top of it and the best and, you know, have the perfect wording with everything, but you'll get you just know the general content so well that it's like, you're not having to think about it. And, you know, and that's being part of whether you're a coach or a service provider, anything like that. Just knowing what you do and knowing your value, and being able to present that at any point. You know, cause there's going to be times, you know, especially like I'm not really big on doing, live events or things like that, where you get up on stage and, you know, go to all these things, and who knows what that's going to look like in the future anyway. But there's a lot of people who are speakers, and like that's what they want to do. You know, they're like moving toward that, or they're doing it. But you don't know. I mean, you may just show up somewhere and meet someone, and they may be like, "Hey, you know, I'm at this event right now. We need another speaker, and I think you'd be great. Go." You need to be, and so like you need to be able to do it without slides. You need to be able to just go and create the situation. And it's not easy to get to that point. I mean, you have to internalize a lot of information, but, and structures and things to be able to do it. And it, like I said, it may not be the best, that you've ever done when you're in a situation like that, but you can't just get up there or get on a phone call and just be like,
yeah, just chilling. Sure. Just going to coast this one.
Silence, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's happened. I've seen it happen to people where they get so freaked out about what they're going to say and like, you know, not knowing what to say that they nothing comes out. And that is a hard position to be in because the people that are there, they're rooting for you. But it gets to a point where, you know, they're just like, okay, well, if you're not providing anything for us, then let's move on.
I took a class back in community college. it was a public speaking class, and I've never had a problem with public speaking. I've always been on stage. It's never been an issue. I'm up. I'm fine. You could throw anything at me on stage and I'm there. I'll handle it. It's fine. But I remember learning that the number one thing that people in general are most afraid of is talking in front of other people, is public speaking, and like that fear of like, what if I don't say the right thing? And I think the beauty of what I'm about to say can probably free many of you of just this thought, is that the vast majority of people don't want you to fail. Just like Rory said, like, we're all going to root for the person that's on stage. We want to learn. We want to know what's going on. So just do your best.
And if all else fails, just start telling some stories about things that have happened in your,
exactly. in your life or your business. Try to connect some sort of dots, you know, between the topic at hand and and your own life. But yeah, I have found myself in that same position very many times where somebody needed a speaker at some event. And I was like, okay, let's just roll with it. And it ended up being awesome every time. But I think you and I, Rory, we have that unique ability to be able to see the opportunity and just go, why not? Sure. And I think that that's significantly helped our business become what it is.
Well, say yes and figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. You say yes and figure it out. And some people would call that fake it till you make it. I'm not so big about fake it until you make it. I'm really big on educating yourself and make sure you know what the hell you're talking about so you don't embarrass yourself. But if you're in a position where you feel like you're going to add value to the conversation, go for it. And again, if you're a little bit nervous, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and I want to point out that I am not in the same way, like, you know, I did not grow up as like someone comfortable public speaking or, you know, speaking on the phone or anything. Like, I was not that person. Like, not, I was not you, essentially. Well. Right. So I remember in high school, I was kind of forced into doing this, what's it called? Like a speaking event, like where, so there's another term for it, but basically like you get up and you read things and like, so the person who was running it, like didn't do a very good job. Like it was a teacher who, you know, was taking us to go do this event, and the event happened at our school. So it was basically like a couple of local schools just coming to our school to do this thing. And they didn't do a good job at telling me like you had to memorize like all of these 6 or 8 different speeches. Basically, the way it was presented to me is you get to pick your own and then just go up there and read it. So I worked on one really, really well.
All right.
Okay. So in a situation like that, where you've been given misinformation about something, you still have to figure out what you can do to make this work. Okay. So luckily I didn't even want to be doing this in the first place, but I got there and they were just like, had all these cards out on the table to pick which one you were supposed to read. And I was like, and they're all like, you can't see any of them. They're all face down. And so you had to go up and then pick it and then, you know, read the paragraph from it. So you had it in front of you. But the whole point was, is like, you don't want to just be like reading it. You know, it's like a, you know, because it's competition.
Oh, it's a competition.
And so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of like a debate competition where like you study one side and the teacher's like, psych. Argue the other side.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Yeah. So luckily I went late enough that someone else had picked the one that I had memorized or worked on. And so I saw where they put it back on the table and I just kept my eye on it the whole time. And so then when I went up, I picked that one, I got that one, and I ended up coming in fourth place. But I was like, if I had to pick one of the other ones, there's no way I would have been in last place because I didn't know any of the other content. But I had like, I had to be strategic about the situation that I was put in, right?
So you watched carefully.
So I paid attention, you know, and I made it work. But like, so, you know, that was high school. So probably like, even 10 years after that, I still wouldn't even have gotten on stage and done anything.
But you did it. You still did it anyway. And you got fourth.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, it wasn't until like actually becoming an authority at something, you know, and having people want to have me on their stage and do that, that I was like, okay, well, I've just got to do this. If I'm not that great, like, you know, and then, you know, because I was like, maybe 6 months into this business and people were just kept asking me like, oh, I want you to talk about books. You know, what is it? And so I would just share in the beginning, I would just share content, you know, and be like, look, this is how you do it. This is what you should be looking for. This is how you create a good book. And like, I just went through like strategies that I had developed for mm-hmm. the business. And they're like, man, that's so good. And got clients from it.
Isn't that incredible how when you literally give away your quote unquote secret sauce to your business, people will gravitate towards you because they don't want to do it themselves. They're going to go to you because you've got the credibility behind yourself.
Well, and some people will, and you have to be okay with that. You know, I mean, it sucks, you know, because you want to help them, and half the time they're going to mess it up anyway. But at the same time, it's like they've only gotten like a little piece of the puzzle because there's only so much you can share. Like you can't take 10 or 20 or 30 years worth of knowledge and implant it into someone in an hour. You know, it just doesn't, there's just not possible. But you can give enough information that's really valuable to people that they could, you know, make that one aspect of what they're doing done mm-hmm. really well. Mm-hmm. And you have to be okay with that and say like, look, this is high level stuff. And if you want to go and do it, then great. You can. That's how valuable mm-hmm. the information is. The other thing I was thinking, I don't know of anyone who, I've never heard of anyone else doing this, but I was invited to an event. I was interviewed on stage, but I wasn't doing a presentation, you know, so it was just a quick interview, like answer like 3 or 4 or 5 questions or something. That was it. And it was like, there was like other people on stage being interviewed.
It was like a panel.
Yeah, exactly. That's the exact word I was looking for there.
I got you.
So, you know, it was like this book event that was being put on, and I was helping a lot of people. Just, you know, that's what I did. I like came there mm-hmm. to help people. Ended up closing 17% of the people at that event. Wow. Without even being a presenter.
That's the beauty.
Yeah.
That's the beauty, just knowing your stuff and people see that you do.
And help people.
To help people. And that's the business that we are in, to help people. And I know that for anyone listening who has a business, if you're thinking about yourself first and your gains first, you will inevitably have the epic fail, right? And I know that I talked about you can't fail in business, but truly the biggest epic fail is to not take your customer into consideration first. What are their needs first? What is the solution that you can offer to their problem? There's so many ways to go about making that happen. And there can be the arrogance way. That was my first business, which failed, so to speak, right? Because I was thinking about myself and my own gains. And then there's the how can I help my customer? And that's why I know Rory and I have been really, really successful, because we're thinking about that first. I think that has a lot to do with what you're talking about, Rory.
Yeah. And we both have tons of clients who are even more successful than us because we've helped them.
I love that. That's honestly, that's my favorite thing. Look, like I've got one, yeah. That makes me think of one of my clients in particular who, they really took a chance on me. I mean, when I first got Sweet Tea Marketing up and running, they were one of my very first clients. They're still with me today. I've made so many mistakes, and they always smile at me and say, don't worry about it. At least you're honest about the mistakes that you've made, and let's just keep going. You've done good work for us. Let's just keep going. There's a lot of value here. And, because of the work that I've done, I mean, they're grossing over $8 million a year, and that's significant. That is so significant. I tripled their revenue since the day I started working with them. And there's a lot of people that have asked me, well, why didn't you structure it in such a way where you get a percentage of the ads that, or what is it? It's like there's a lot of marketing companies that they'll charge a percentage of the total ad spend on top of their fee.
Mm-hmm. So they'll be like, okay, my fee is $5,000 a month. And if you spend more than $10,000 mm-hmm. in ads, then we take 10% or 20% of whatever that is.
Yeah. And that's a really common model. And shout out to all of you who are doing that. That's fantastic. But for me, I like charging a flat rate and just calling it a day. And whatever, you know, whatever comes from that for my client, you know, I, like I said, they've been with me from the beginning. So I'm pretty happy. We're going to keep it going. and
well, and they're happy because they've like at least tripled their business.
And when you, yeah, when you're able to actually show results like that, you can ask for more. You can say, hey, you know, we've done this amount of work. Here's what I've been charging. And here's what I think my value is. And it might take a couple of years to get there, but I have gone up in pricing, I think 5 different times since I started working with them. And they totally said, absolutely 100% worth every penny. So when you're actually able to show value in that way and get your clients what they need, and then some over and over and over again, then there's some good negotiation power there.
Yeah, definitely. And the other thing, because that event I was telling you about, you know, where I closed the 17%, it was like, so I met a guy there. Okay. And he's a client, and a friend now. And, it reminds me of something that he said to me. He was really, really big in Hollywood. Like he was a VP of a major motion picture company.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he said like he was so used to just, you know, walking into any room, it didn't matter where it was, and people knew who he was, and they were just like, you know, sucking up to him, and they always wanted something from mm-hmm. him. And then here I come along and I'm like, like, I don't care at all about any of that. Like, that's cool. That's
well,
awesome.
You care about
but,
him,
like,
but not about what's
yeah. Exactly. Like I care about getting him the result that he's looking for. And so I just treated him like a normal human being and like someone that would just, you know, be like a long time friend and advisor and he was like, that was like such a breath of fresh air, you know? Like there was no like no front. There was like I didn't want anything from him. And like if you approach that with potential clients, you're like, you don't want anything from them. You just want to help mm-hmm. them. Okay. You want to get them the result that they're looking for. They can sense that.
Of course.
You know, especially, and then as you get into higher and higher level clients, they've seen everything. Like they know every trick in the book. They know if you're reading a script, they know like all these mm-hmm. things, you know, all the sales strategies and all of that. But if you can be real with them and create a connection, like, you'll get the business. Absolutely. And even if you don't, and sometimes, you know, it might take a year, it might take two with certain clients to be able to get them on board, you know, just help them, you know, and get them a result. You know, if you are like getting started in your business and you are fortunate enough to be put in a position where you're meeting some potential, you know, high level clients, then, you know, don't go in with like a attitude like, oh, like, you know, you need to be working with me because I can do this and this and this. It's like, just help them, like get them a result. Even, you know, and sometimes you just have to be like, look, you know, I'll do something for free, show you what I can mm-hmm. do with certain clients.
Dude,
you know,
how many different things have we given away for free just to prove that we know what we're talking about? That's a big yeah. piece of this whole success puzzle in being in business and really being able to provide that value. And I know I'm like a broken record over here saying provide value, but truly, and sometimes you got to give it away for free, you know?
Yeah. And be consistent. I mean, you know, like show up to your meetings on mm-hmm. time.
Well, that's a big one.
They show that that you value their time, right? And that you value your own time too. Like it's a really important perception.
Man, that, I right? will say that's my biggest pet peeve in business. Number one, hands down. I can't tell you how many times I've left after 15 minutes. If someone hasn't shown up, I'm out. And there's been many times where they're walking through the door of the coffee shop or wherever we're meeting, I'm out. I say, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming, but this is not going to work for me. And it comes off as like a, are you serious? You're not going to wait 15 minutes? No, I'm not going to wait 15 minutes because it proves to me that you didn't plan ahead of time, that you're not taking your business seriously. So why should I take your business seriously? If, you know, and that might be super harsh, but that's my policy. You don't show up late if you want to work with me. that's the deal here, y'all. I'm serious.
Yeah. And once they're a client, both of you are going to have situations that come up. Okay. Right. But in the beginning, if, or if it's a consistent thing, that's it. Right?
Yeah.
So those are the things you have to pay attention to. Okay. In the beginning, and in the and then while you're in the middle of stuff, if it starts becoming like every single time mm-hmm. they're like 20 minutes late, mm-hmm. then you need to start having a discussion. It's like, you know, either you're going to get billed for those 20 minutes mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you're not showing up, or you know, we need to reevaluate this because don't feel like the situation is, you know, we don't want this to continue.
I really was able to weed out the, how do I word this? The wantrepreneurs from the entrepreneurs when I started charging people for the sessions that they missed. Mm-hmm. And people were coming back to me saying, I can't believe you charged me for that. I wasn't even there. I'm like, well, I was there. So where were you? You know, you didn't give me 24 hours notice. You didn't give me an hour notice. You just didn't show up. So what do you expect? I mean, that's my valuable time. And once you start taking yourself seriously, where you understand the value that you bring to the table, if someone else doesn't get it, that's on them. They had an agreement, you know, they had an agreement. They didn't show up. And so
and we're not the only ones that do this, right? You think doctors do this, course. Lawyers do this, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So, you know, you have to view yourself as at least that same type of value and level that, you know, if you didn't show up with a, or didn't give 24 hour notice to your doctor, they're still going to bill your insurance.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Even though that might not hit your credit card, still happening.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the doctor too. If it's a specialist that isn't covered with your insurance, then mm-hmm. you may be getting billed directly, right?
Yeah. 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 I've been asked that question many times from my clients. So what do I do if someone misses their session with me, or, you know, how do I handle that? So you bill them, you bill them. And that's why I'm a huge advocate for like, get credit card information up front, get payment information up front, so that you can just make it a super, super easy situation where you can bill as you need, as you go along. In some cases, and I mean, obviously you can't do that every time, but yeah, that's if someone has made a commitment to you, you are valuable. Your time is valuable. And if you've shown up and done your due diligence and the research to prepare for that meeting, heck yeah, you charge for that, even if they're there or not. That's my stance.
Well, and that speaks to the other side of it, is that rarely is a meeting that you're ever going into just a 30-minute or an hour meeting.
Never.
Because you've got so much prep, and then you have post-work that you do as well. Yep.
And I think that's something that is missed by a lot of people who are new to being in business. They don't quite understand that if they're going to be receiving the coaching or consultation, it's not just those minutes. There's mm-hmm. so much work sometime, you know, full days into figuring out what's going to be the best strategy, the best approach to whatever the situation might be. There's so much extra work that goes into that. So if you're doing calculations, we're like, gosh, you know, someone's charging $500 an hour. Like, well, it's not just for the hour you're talking. There's so much more that is going into that. So be respectful of the prices, y'all.
Yeah. Respect other people's pricing and time, and then respect your own. Yeah. And, you know, we did an episode about pricing, mm-hmm. right? And this is kind of like a little extension of that.
Yeah, but I feel like it's important to even touch on it, you know, now. Just
you know, multiple times. Yeah,
I mean, it's going to come up. That question always comes up. And oh man, I gotta tell you something. I got an email from one of my clients this afternoon, who said, "Hey, I saw the email that you sent out about the pay what you can." And I mentioned this in a previous episode where part of my current business model because of COVID is I'm offering a pay what you can plan if people want to do some coaching sessions with me, where literally it's pay what you can. I mean, whatever you have, I'm here to answer questions, pay what you want. And so my client took that model from my email and basically, you know, stole my email. Awesome. Love it. And just put her own words to it. She sent out an email and she racked in $8,000 in the first day. I'm like, yeah, get it. You know, I love that. So there's so many different ways to approach different business models in today's world. And it's important to not stay stuck in what you feel has been right for so long, because things are changing. Things are changing, and it's important to change not only with the times, but also with what you can do, with what your bandwidth allows. You know?
So speaking of bandwidth, I couldn't even do that right, a promotion like that right now.
Yeah, because you're slammed. No bandwidth. You're slammed.
Yeah. You know, as good, like, and this is the thing, you know, especially as coaches and people who are on the pulse of what's going on in the marketing world and all of that, it's like there are way, way more things that we can't implement than we can that are good ideas that work, that we pass along to our clients, because we know that in their situation, it's going to work for them, or is a good chance of it working, right? And so that's kind of like, you know, if you're looking for advice like that, that's like why you hire a coach. And if you are a coach or consultant, then it's knowing the strategies, and also knowing that, like, as much as, you know, like if someone wants to be like, well, you're not doing that, why should I do it? Like the people who actually listen and implement tend to get the results. And it's because we have the experience of having been through so many things and seeing different ways of like what works and what doesn't, and across various different markets, that we're able to say, no, this is the strategy, even though I may not be able to do this right now because my business is too busy, or, you know, we've got this, all these other things, or we're on a certain schedule for these other strategies that we're implementing.
Things you have to deliver before you can accept more.
Well, yeah. Or, you know, like, you know, if, you know, one person is on a path to create a course, but another person is to do a live event model, it's better to actually just focus on one or the other, right? So as business owners, what we're saying is like, we're focused on what we're doing, and we know what that is. It doesn't mean that that's the only way to do things.
Right. But our whole goal is to fast track you based on our experience.
Yeah. So you, so if you just modeled exactly what we do, maybe you get the results, but maybe it's not the best thing for your business. And if you're, if you don't know where you're at with, you know, or having a tough time making those decisions, then having some outside perspective can really help.
Oh, absolutely. But it's also important to know that your target audience is super different from mine.
Yeah. Right? That's another aspect.
There's no plug and play, one stop shop business model. And I think, I mean, thank God, right? Because that's how we're employed. Different strategies come into play for depending on what someone has going on.
Well, different personalities play into it. Different markets play into it. There's different budgets. There's so many aspects to it that, you know, as a consultant, you're taking all of this information in and then saying, here's the plan of action that is most likely going to get you the result you're looking for.
I like that you said most likely. So something that I feel is important to mention is, in working with someone like Rory or myself, it's important to note that we may not have all the answers up front. And that's why we do a lot of testing, so much testing. Like, you've got to be willing to go along for the ride to get to your big picture goal, to get to what you're really wanting and needing from your business. And some things might fall short of that. And we learn from that, and we make sure to not do that in the future. And so it's important, I feel, as a business owner of any market, to be very open-minded to any opportunity and any possibility to continue learning and to continue breaking through growth plateaus. Because that statement, breaking through growth plateaus, isn't just making money. It's the understanding of, we didn't make money maybe over here, but the opportunity maybe somewhere else can present itself. So again, like, the testing process is pretty important in what we do. And I have to say, that the success rate is just incredible. I know Rory and I work with a lot of clients together, and being able to see that success and go, aha, we did it. We got it. Yes. You know, we built the secret to, you know, the secret sauce to this person's business over here, or whatever it may be, but it takes time. And so you've got to be willing to put in that time for yourself and for your clients if you're on the coaching side, like Rory and I are, right?
Well, yeah. And as a coach, you have to be able to say, okay, well, you have to articulate that to a client, that if you're looking for to go from like zero to a million in 1 month from my coaching, like it's probably most likely not going to happen.
Right.
Can it happen? Right. I mean, we've been able to help companies grow from zero to a million in like 4 months. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's one, it's not the norm.
Right.
And two, there's way too many factors that go into something like that, like the amount of time, commitment, money, investment, right? Mm-hmm. To make all that work. Mm-hmm. And then how many things are you like willing to invest in your business to get to that point? And how are you going to position yourself? You know? Mm-hmm. So, you may, as you're coaching someone, you may have to be like, you know, like, there's a reason that, you know, we do 3 month or 6 month packages. It's because we're looking to get you a result. We're working to work with you long term, but we need feedback. So we can build with best practices and put a game plan. But 25% of it may not work exactly how we're expecting, or something in the market shifts. And we need to adjust. And that's part of it. And that's part of business. And if people aren't okay with that, then they're really, you know, maybe they're not the client for you. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. It's so important to get that commitment. I have a 3 month minimum with all of my growth coaching. It's so important to do that, because I tell my clients, look, it's very unlikely that you're going to be receiving, the business that you're looking for, you know, between 1 and 2 months. However, under promise, over deliver, right? So I put that expectation in their mind. I know I'm hustling real hard in the beginning for my clients to make sure that I'm getting them epic results right off the bat. And once you can prove that to the client, to the customer, then they go, aha, this is totally worth paying for. Then they go onboarding for 6 months, for a year. And it turns into so much more than that initial, 3 month commitment.
Yeah. So, and there's tons of strategies too, that like once you've already got someone in the door of how you can take them to the next level with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, one example is, because I don't want to just leave it like here. There's so many examples. You know, there's so many
examples, but we're not going to share any of it. Just trust us. Yeah. Please, Rory.
There are so, but one is okay. So say you've got them in for 3 months. At the 6 week mark, if you've gotten them some really good results, you know, then go, okay, well, we've gotten you really good results. Sit down, show them exactly what's happened. Map it out, have a meeting with them and map it out and say, look, you know, I know we've only got 6 weeks left in our contract, but here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to, we've gotten this so many great results for you, and you can see that we'd like to continue this and continue growing your business. But what I'd like to do is make you an offer. I'd like to work together for the next year. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm going to do is, you know, normally our yearly package is X. Okay. I'm going to, what I'm going to do, if you're willing to move forward with this and work together for the next year, what I'm going to do, I'm going to knock 20% off of that price if you want to get started on that. This is just general idea, maybe not the exact wording of what you would say, but
right.
The whole point is that you've shown them results, and that you care about their business, and you're going to you're positioning yourself to work with them and to get that long-term contract with them that you're mm-hmm. you're looking for. So if you go into your first meeting going, oh, I only work with people for a year and here's the price. That's right. That's a lot harder sell than, you know, we're going to work together for 3 months, get you some results, and then we're going to, and then at, in the middle of that, you transition them into, once you've gotten them some results, that and transition them into a year-long package.
The entire goal of all of this is so that they don't even have to think twice about saying yes.
Yeah.
Like, here's what I've done. Now, listen, the other side of this is, let's say you didn't get the results you were hoping for. Maybe you're out of your element. Maybe you're totally out of your depth and you're like, ah, wow, bit off way more than I can chew. There is nothing wrong with saying that. Saying, you know what? Here's what I did for you. Okay. Here's
don't just ghost them.
No. It's so important to acknowledge all the things that you have done, right? Like, look, I built you an email list with like 5,000 people on it. Maybe you've redone their website, maybe you've redone their brand, whatever it looks like. And then you can say, here's what I provided you thus far. And if you're not into it anymore, or if something's going on, there is nothing wrong with saying, you know, I appreciate this opportunity, but I feel like this might be the end of the road. However, don't just leave them. Line up some other people in your network that might be some good alternatives for them. Because if you just walk away and you're like, sorry, it didn't work out. Thanks for the cash. Oh man, that's not going to work at all. It's so important to line up some alternatives for them where you can introduce them to other people that might have a better shot at what they need. But it's, again, it's totally appropriate for you to not keep, you know, going down a path that either you're not comfortable with or that you don't know if you can get them the results. Might as well, you know, provide them some value where they can come back to you later and say, wow, thank you so much for making that connection for me. And the other side of that too, another side, is whoever signs on with them next, if they're in your network, and we talked about this in a previous episode, make sure you say, hey, whatever comes in from that client, I get my commission. I get that 15% or the 10% or whatever you negotiate.
That's right? Why it's so important to build relationships so that when you have these types of people to refer people to, and then those relationships continue to grow because they love you. And then your, you know, client or previous client loves you too, because you, you know, set them on the right path or something.
Mm-hmm. And everybody wins.
Yeah. And then the other side is that long term, you're building that affiliate commission. Mm-hmm. And
where literally all you did was just introduce somebody to somebody else. And you're like, sweet. As long as you continue to keep that connection happy, right? Everybody's happy, everybody wins. In this field of coaching and consulting, for myself anyway, I don't know if you feel this way, Rory, but for myself, I don't feel like I have any real competition. Like, there's so much money out there, right? We've talked about this. There's so much money. Why not share the wealth? And if somebody is just better at something than me, so be it. You know, it's okay. So they're better at doing Facebook ads, or they're better at doing Google AdWords. Fine. I'll take the commission and I'll be on my way and be able to provide value for somebody else in a different way. It's a big money-making circle. And we can all win if everyone's in the right mindset of just connecting the dots all together and being very honest and clear. I mean, I've seen more business deals go south than I can even count, just because people get greedy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know just for you and I, Rory, I mean, there have been some situations that were a little bit sticky where it could have been strange, but we talked it through. It was like, hey, what do we want to do here? And we were very honest and upfront about, you know, this person wants to work with me, or this other person wants to work with you. How are we going to handle this? And we worked it out and it felt fair and everything moved forward and was fine. So if something comes along your way where an opportunity presents itself, but if it feels strange, then it is strange. And you need to address that, because any time that something has come up like that, it's felt like a dirty money opportunity. And I'm like, oh, I don't want that. I want nothing to do with that. I want clean money.
Yeah.
Clean money where it's good for everybody and we can all sleep good at night. It's important.
The flip side is also that not everyone is honorable about some of this stuff.
Yeah.
So you have to vet and choose the people that you work with in these types of partnerships, or, you know, affiliate situations because they're not technically partners of your business, but
your affiliates.
Yeah.
Colleagues.
Yeah. but you know, and things may go well for a while and then suddenly someone, you know, stops paying and you find out and you have to, you know, either address that up front, you know, you address mm-hmm. that with them. Maybe you have a contract that states specific things, mm-hmm. you know, being really clear about those terms up front. But if someone is just not honoring it, which, you know, we both run into situations like that over the years with other people. And it's just like, okay, well, then they're not getting any more business from me.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset of they're not worth my energy, so I'm just not even going to bother. If they're going to be nasty about that in business, that just proves to me that I'm never going to send them any business and good luck to them.
And I'm constantly pitching other people, you know, businesses and services when it's appropriate. And because of how I position it, they go in and people are just like, yeah, I want to work with you. Let's go. Like they don't even have to do any sales.
You know? Right. Because you've set it up for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes I'm even bringing them the client as part of a package that I put together. Right.
Right.
And so, you know, for them to turn around and, you know, steal a client or, not pay the percentage that they're supposed to, because they're getting greedy or whatever, then, you know, that's on them. And I just go, okay, well, you know, yeah, maybe you got those set of clients, but I talk with, you know, dozens of people every week.
Way more.
So, what are you missing out on? Like, and this,
that exactly. I've been in a position before where someone burned me. Right. And they came back and said, do you have any work? Like, no, I don't. All right. Yeah. Best of luck to you. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, everybody, we're at the end of our time together on this fabulous podcast.
For today.
Thank you all so much for listening and for being with us. We are going to have some interviews coming up, which I'm super pumped about.
Yep, those are in the pipeline. And, yeah, next episode we'll dig in some more affiliate stuff, some more marketing, some more sales. Be prepared.
Be prepared. Take some notes. Get your notes out. All righty, we'll see you in the next one.
Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode. To download the digital episode companions, watch unedited and behind the scenes content from this and all of our other episodes, get access to exclusive trainings from us and our guests, get direct access to Dominica and myself, and to schedule your business critique with us, head on over to bpbpodcast.com/VIP. All right, we'll see you there.